Last week, we released the 2017 Global Terrorism Index, where we found that deaths from terrorism in the United States have increased by 60%. So between 2015 and 2016, we saw that significant increase. And this really contrasts with the global figures, where we've seen that the number of deaths from terrorism globally have fallen for the second consecutive year. And since the peak in 2014, they've fallen globally by about 22%.
Why do you suppose there's an increase in the U.S. against the backdrop of a global decrease?
I think that overall, what we've found and what the data is really showing is that terrorism is highly concentrated. And so, whereas there has been this increase in the United States, we still find that the vast majority of terrorism deaths and attacks occur outside of the US, in fact, outside of OECD countries. Only 1% of global deaths from terrorism last year were in OECD countries. So I think, firstly, it's important to sort of understand that context. And what we see when we look at the environments in which terrorism tends to occur, they tend to be environments with ongoing conflicts, high levels of political terror. And in the United States, we're seeing increasing amounts of polarization, lack of opportunity, and less social cohesion, which tends to be an environment in which terrorism starts to increase.
Okay, so let's take a couple of the most recent scenarios. New York, the Halloween attack, San Bernardino, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. What do you draw from those environments and those circumstances? What's known about it, based on what you just pointed out to us, as what you've learned?
Well, what we're seeing in the United States in particular is that among developed nations, the US suffers the highest rate of lone actor attacks. And I think that's reflected in some of the incidents that you just mentioned. So if we go all the way back to 1970, 93% of attacks in the US were committed by homegrown terrorists, mostly by US citizens, by permanent residents. And so what this tends to imply is that we need to, one of our strategies for preventing violent extremism, for counterterrorism, needs to be to actually look at our domestic environments and ensure that we are also addressing what's happening here in the US, not just what's happening abroad.
So it seems as though there's a social element to that may need to take place here to address some of the issues that you're talking about, some cultural adjustments. What are your thoughts on how that might take place?
Absolutely. And I think that we need to really have a two-pronged strategy. It's not enough to just look at what's happening here in the US. Understandably, we need to still address the environments and the conflicts that are happening abroad that tend to breed groups that have a strong international message and that can show an example for people who then radicalize here. So I think that on one hand, we need to sort of neutralize the threat abroad, and that means that we do need to look at the military activity and counterterrorism strategies that have been effective in reducing, for instance, the funding and the territorial control of some of the larger groups like ISIS. But we won't ever be able to really, in the long term, address this threat or de-radicalize or prevent radicalization without looking also at home here domestically. And so what we need to do here is think about how we look at access to economic opportunity, but most importantly, how we address acceptance of the rights of others. So in that vein, rhetoric is extremely important. If we have rhetoric in our top levels that encourages division and less acceptance of the rights of others, that foments group grievances, those are all the factors that we see, even globally, tend to radicalize and lead to more terrorist activity.
Michelle Breslauer is the director of the Americas Program at the Institute for Economics and Peace. J.J. Green, WTOP News.